Welcome to Women Who Fights podcast. We empower female fighters to take full agency over their training. Our goal is to celebrate and inspire others with the incredible action women and allies are taking to level the playing field. We talk to experts, uncover prejudice, and champion what's driving our progress.
And in our last episode, we spoke to Rhea and Faye from Endometriosis UK. Today, we're talking to Louise, who's a sufferer of endometriosis and will be telling us about her unique experience of the condition. Louise, hello, and thank you for your time. Could you please start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, who you are, when did it all start, etc.?
Okay, I'm Louise. I'm from London, which is currently in the great tier four situation, which I'm sure a lot of people are suffering with. I'm not a woman who fights, but I know Marina through my boyfriend, Sam, who does BJJ with her. So we've connected a little bit about this topic before, and I just thought it was really great to be able to kind of share my experiences and listen to other people's experiences as well. It was really interesting to hear the other lady's story on your podcast, and it's something that's really helped me through this journey is by listening to other people. So I definitely wanted to contribute to that. So I've had endometriosis officially for 4 years, but I've been suffering with it since I was, 14. I'm 32 now. So it's been like the majority of my life has been suffering from this. So, yeah, it's something that I'm really passionate to speak about.
Amazing. Yeah, no, thank you so much for being here with us.
And I had no clue.
Can you tell us a little bit?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. No, I know. I feel like it's something that is now, I'm seeing it in the media a lot. I don't know if about you guys. I feel like it's coming up all the time. And I get sent messages a lot from my friends like, oh, it's just been on the news and I've seen this petition. So I think it's definitely coming more into the forefront. A lot of like more famous people are speaking out about it. For me, I know that Marina, you saw my post on Instagram that I did yesterday.
Yes.
Which was quite a big thing for me. Like I always get kind of FOMO about talking about it. Not FOMO, it's not complete opposite. I always get a fear of oversharing rather than, I'll speak to my close friends and family about it and they know what's going on. But other than that, I'm quite like guarded about it. So that was quite a big deal for me to post about that.
Yeah, I think that's really good to use social media to educate, because at the moment what we see is a perfect picture of everyone.
Yeah.
And it's so important to just tap on the things that are not often spoken about, I think.
Yeah, for me, like a big reason that I did that post, it was just after I had surgery, by the way. So I did the post after my third surgery, and normally I wouldn't do that at all. It's normally just something I discuss with my friends, but because I think with women's health and obviously particularly endometriosis for me, I've found that I've got so much information from like the online community and from forums and from Instagram and people posting about it. It's normally the opposite in that the internet kind of scares you more when it comes to health. But this for me, I think it's really helped me so much. So that's why I wanted to contribute a little bit towards it instead of keeping it secret, because I think otherwise that just makes it harder for women and it promotes the idea that you need to keep this to yourself. And it's why people don't get diagnosed.
Do you know what scares me? The fact that I'm going, like I've been around to my friends saying, oh yeah, we had this episode about endometriosis, and they're like, what is endometriosis? And you're thinking, wow, that's bad.
I know, it's, and also, it's, I just want to say that endometriosis is not a rare thing. It's 1 in 10 women. So that's huge if you think about it. That's so many. And I, when I speak to people, when I did that post, there were women that I know, you know, not close friends, but acquaintances who have been like, yeah, I've got this. Or there were close friends that I have that were like, oh, actually, my sister's got this. So it affects so many people that it's just crazy that it's not so well known and no one really knows what it is. And it, obviously it's a weird disease, so it's going to be something that is hard to explain fully, and you're not going to understand it if you don't have it. So I understand that it can be difficult, but yeah, it's great that it's getting spoken about more.
For me and also the audience who may not have seen your post, could you tell us a little bit about what you said?
Yeah, so it was to kind of give like a brief explanation of my story with it. I had painful periods since I was 14. That's the kind of only way I can describe it. I can't remember when I was younger ever linking it to anything more, because, you know, you don't when you're that age. I just kind of thought that this was what a period was. There were times though when it got really bad and I could barely kind of get up some days, and I was like, this can't be normal, you know? This, how are women dealing with this? How is this a normal thing? And my mom, who had endometriosis, which we can touch on more after, was concerned with that. And she was like, right, I'm sure you need to get this investigated. So I had a lot of appointments when I was late teens, so probably like 17, 18. And eventually I got put on the pill, which then masked my symptoms for a while. You know, my periods were a lot lighter, which meant they were a lot less painful and a lot less intrusive in my life. And I kind of still got the pain, but I just let it go away for a while and just didn't concern myself with it until I reached my probably mid-20s. And then I started to get all sorts of other fun symptoms, like really chronic UTIs that were just awful. And I had to go to the A&E for that a couple of times. And things like mystery symptoms, like I would get really bad pelvic pain. I had really bad stomach problems. Once I had to go to A&E with my dad, I remember, because they thought I had really sharp pain, and we thought it could be like appendicitis. We went and they were like, no, you're all fine. And that was kind of the like thing that I heard the most, you know, oh yeah, there's nothing wrong. I had so many scans, so many things wrong. Appointments, so many specialists. And I just thought, maybe I'm making this up. But I really had to push for it. So,
you went to the hospital with acute pain. Yeah.
Yeah.
They thought it was appendicitis.
Yeah. So I had this pain, and it was, you know, near where my appendix was, and it was just really bad stomach cramps. And I went to A&E. And yeah, I had scans, I had x-rays. They were like, yeah, there's nothing that we can see. So, you know, I had to leave. And I felt bad for that, because I thought, you know, bad for my dad. I was like, what if I just look, you know, being a hypochondriac, it looks like I'm making this up. So I thought, you know, maybe there is nothing wrong with me. So it makes you doubt yourself, like you go a bit insane.
Wow.
But
it's like, yeah, you're gaslit.
Yeah,
it's like, exactly. No one's listening or understanding what you're saying.
Yeah, so you do I started to think, oh God, like maybe I'm just losing it. Like maybe I'm exaggerating. But yeah, after all of this, I eventually went, got referred to a gynecologist who scanned me, did an ultrasound. She said, I can't see anything, but I'm pretty sure that this is endometriosis from what you've described. And after another long wait, I then had a diagnostic surgery, which confirmed that I had endometriosis. So to answer your question, which is a long time ago before I started rambling on, my post was about having my third surgery and the symptoms that had led me to the surgery. So I wanted to kind of share something that I had Googled a lot when I was going through it, was what do people actually feel when they have it? I wanted to know what the symptoms were and how they related to endometriosis. And that was what my post was about. It was about my surgeries and about the symptoms that I felt and how they related to endo.
Okay. Okay. Wow. It sounds like such a, it kind of feels like you're quite alone. Well, it feels like you're alone because you haven't got like, I feel like you need like a support group. You need to go and have like, you know, sit together and be like, okay, tell me about how you are, because this is my experience, because it's such an understudied condition. I mean, you say it's weird, you know, I think you said it's like kind of a weird illness, but actually every illness, you could call every illness weird if you didn't know about it.
Yeah,
it just
right.
feels like something yeah. which is so under looked into that it's, I mean, did you find much misinformation, or is there generally what you find quite helpful?
It's hard. I think misinformation, I would say, is more when people call it, you know, just a case of painful periods. Mm. I would say that's misinformation. There's a lot of stuff online about how to help it, and in reality, it is classified as an incurable disease. It's a chronic condition. So there are things that I find helpful and there are things that I find not helpful about how to deal with it. So I don't know if I'd call it misinformation. I think for every person that has endo has a different way of dealing with it. The things that I find helpful are hearing other people's stories. I read a lot before I had my surgeries about people that have had it and what to expect, you know, what to bring with you. And that was really helpful because it can, I think that, I don't know if doctors do this purposefully. I think it's just their way. My experiences with doctors have been that they're very vague. Obviously to them, they're probably dealing with so many people that have this, but for you, it's this huge life-changing thing. And I think that's where it really filled in the gaps for me by dealing with forums and speaking to other people, is the things that the doctors don't tell you. So that's really helpful.
Yeah. Okay. So you've mentioned your symptoms a bit. You talked about how it's affecting your bladder and giving you UTIs and pelvic pain. What has the surgery done for you then? Because you say you've had three surgeries now. Is that normal?
Yeah, I think within endo you can have surgeries all the time just because it can keep growing back. I know you had someone previously who explained endometriosis, so I don't want to go too into how it works and what it does, but obviously it keeps rectifying, not rectifying, replicating the cells in your womb. So that means you can get growth on your organs, mostly your pelvic organs, but it can affect other organs like your lungs, in other areas of your body. For me, my surgeries, to kind of sum it up without going into too much boring detail, the first one was obviously diagnostic. but they then treated it endo at the same time. So they found lesions on my bladder, which was a big one for me because I'd had so many bladder problems. They found it on my appendix, which summed up my old A&E trip, and probably explained why I was in a lot of pain. They found it on my ovaries. They found it between my bladder and my uterus. I'm trying to remember. It was in a lot of places. And after that, it was a lot of a case of me trying to piece together, right, well, it's there. So that's what my symptoms were relating to. The bladder one for me has probably been the worst. I think it's been awful. I had a second surgery, which was last July. And in that one, I had a scan on my bladder, and it showed endo on my bladder, which had never happened before. All my scans had always come back clear. So that for me was like, oh God, it's back again. And then my surgery that I had this year, which was about just over 6 weeks ago, they removed some from my bladder as well. So yeah, that's probably been the one that's like haunted me. But you know, all the symptoms can come and go, but for me, the bladder is the worst.
So after surgery, how do you feel after? Is it perfectly normal after surgery? Do you feel like, oh, there's no pain, pain's gone?
Oh no, and then you wait until after surgery is the worst. You always feel like, what have I done? This is awful. Just for me, recovery can be really bad. But then, yeah, like obviously you do feel better for a while. When I had my first surgery, after I'd recovered, I felt good for a while. You know, I didn't have another surgery for a few years. But after the last one, obviously there's been like a shorter break in between them. So that's a bit disheartening, but they do help, but I can't say for me that it's helped me so much to the point where I feel fine. It's more just a case of I know that it's growing on my organs, so that when I have the surgeries, it's like I know that it's getting rid of some of the endo. So that's why I keep having them.
I want to focus on the mental aspect of this. So yeah, you know that you have a condition that keeps coming back. How do you manage it mentally? How does this affect your work, your life? How do you keep everything in check?
Yeah, it's something that I think I've only just kind of got to grips with. I think I spent a lot of my time before my first diagnosis, and maybe just immediately after, kind of a little bit trying to fight against it. I think I would try and push myself to do things and be like, you feel fine. I'd kind of ignore a lot of my pain, not talk about it with many people, and just try and get on with it. I think it was like a battle with myself, like to just be normal, and not feel like my whole life was ruled by this condition. But now I've kind of embraced it a lot more, after having it this long, having this many surgeries. I kind of let myself, if I'm having a really bad day, I'm like, yeah, well, you know, today's a write-off, it's fine. I've let myself talk about it more with other people, you know, like this podcast is something that I would have never have done before. So even just like talking about it has really helped with the mental side of it, instead of just kind of trying to hide that you're in pain. Like I went out, obviously, before lockdown for dinner with my friends, and I was in so much pain. I was like, I'm not going to go. And in the end, I was like, you know what? I'll just go. I took my hot water bottle out with me. And I was like, yeah, this is just my life now. It's fine. But yeah, mentally, it can be awful, like especially for women who are going through the diagnostic stage and are being told again and again, yeah, scans are fine. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. I think, like you said, Shanti, it's like being gaslit. And I think that is a really hard thing to deal with mentally. I did struggle a lot then. Even going into my first surgery, I was thinking, oh my God, like I was actually going into the operating thing and I thought, what if they don't find anything? And then I've just gone through all of this and, you know, what if there is nothing wrong with me? And I think that is something really hard for girls to deal with. That is why the long waiting period to be diagnosed is so stressful for so many people, because you just end up doubting yourself. When they told me, like when I woke up from surgery and they said, you've got endometriosis, we found it in all these areas. Obviously, realistically, that's bad news. But for me, I was really happy because I was like, oh, like, yes, I'm not going insane. Right. I haven't lost my mind. Yeah. So that's not a normal reaction, being told you've got a chronic illness. But I've read other people that have felt the same. Like there's a singer called Halsey. She has it. And I remember she did a post and she was like, it was like the most bittersweet feeling. And I was like, yes, it's so true. Because although you've got a chronic illness and you have to deal with this now forever, at least you know why you've got this pain. It's like finally getting a diagnosis is like a win.
Yeah. I feel like that idea of not being listened to and not being heard, so not being taken seriously for something when you're clearly in pain, it's sort of like it's just battered away. It's one of the most damaging things you can do for someone's mental health, because I think everyone's been gaslit to some degree in their life for one reason or another, seemingly women more maybe than men. Particularly in this situation. I mean, like I've had a lot of accounts of women just feeling like they're not listened to by their doctors at all. And it's particularly with stuff like periods, which are like, no, periods are painful. Like that is your lot. You have to deal, like, and you feel very like, oh, what? So I'm alone. I have to just deal with this by, oh, cheers. Okay, cool. Like, what are you supposed to do with that?
And like one of the things is that's hard, it obviously, talking about it, it doesn't happen as much now, but I remember when I was dealing with it like early on, and I had a manager at work who was like, oh, well, yeah, you know, I get painful periods too. Like I understand. And I wanted to be like, this isn't just my period. Like this is my whole, like, this is hurting me every day. You know, it was a lot of the time, a thing that really held affected me at work was trying to explain it to people I work with. And luckily I have had not so bad of an experience. Like I've had pretty decent employers where they haven't made a big deal out of it, but it is a really awkward thing. And my job, not so much now because it's changed quite a lot, but I worked in fashion and I did wardrobe styling. It was quite an active job. And I used to work in retail as well. So I was always on my feet. So that was something that it quite affected my job. I don't know if it, I wouldn't say held me back, but it probably made me take less risks with things like that. And I think it makes a lot of women, well, for me, it made me stay in a job for a very long time that I wouldn't necessarily have stayed in just because they knew about my condition. They were understanding of it. You know, I could get healthcare. I got time off for surgeries. So I ended up staying there for a while when normally I probably would have moved on to other things in that time. So I think that can be, it can be really hard to explain it to people. You don't want to seem like a problem, you know, you don't, that's how I felt. I was like, God, I don't want to have to talk about like my period and my fucking, oh, excuse me, my uterus.
Yeah, yeah, go on. We can do that.
Yeah. To my boss, you know, it's just like the last thing I want to discuss.
Yeah, it seems like with chronic illnesses, one of the worst things is that you compare your life to what you thought it would be or what you think it should be, because it's trying to accept a condition which is, you're like, it's like, it's not fair, because it's not, it feels very, it's very like why me, like why not them, or not why not anyone.
No, I've had that before. I laugh because I messaged my friend who also has endometriosis, and I was like, do you think there are just women who just have like normal vaginas and don't have to worry about any of this stuff? I mean, I know it's not the worst, like there are people that are dealing with way worse things, and even in endometriosis, like I read some girls' stories who have had to have things like, you know, have their parts of their bowel removed and now have colostomy bags, or really terrible stories. So I do feel lucky that although it's really bad, it could be a lot worse. But yeah, you're right, there is definitely days where I have just like, this is not fair. It's days where I've been bleeding for a month and it won't stop. And I'm like, how can this still be happening? They are probably the days where I feel sorry for myself. But other than that, it could be worse. So I do count my blessings, but I know that, there are days where you're allowed to feel sorry for yourself.
Oh my God. I think it's so important to count your blessings, but also just, I mean, my sister's very good at telling me, like, just being like, yeah, it's just shit. It's just like, God, isn't that just shit? Like, yeah, it is.
Yeah. And there's, wow. You know, there's different people. Like, there's people that I go to where you just want to rant about it. And then obviously there's well-meaning people that try and give you ways to help it. But sometimes you just want to have a big rant about it and help.
Was the fact that your mother had endometriosis too helpful in you feeling like it's not something alienated? It's something that, it happens. Yeah. My mom has it and she can tell me, you know, what to do, how to feel.
Honestly, like my mom having it, I think, was probably the main reason that I pushed for diagnosis. I mean, for one, I'd never heard about endometriosis outside of my mom. So when I had my painful periods and when I was going through all my other symptoms, my mom was the only reason that I even knew that endometriosis existed. And she was the first person to say, this is what I think you have. So it can be hereditary. So she might have passed on to me, which I forgive her for. It's fine, because she definitely helped me out with it. I don't remember at the time hearing about it from any other source. So this was like 20 years ago. Now it's talked about a lot more, but for me, I definitely heard it through my mom. I don't think I would have pushed for it as much if it wasn't for her.
How long did it take her to diagnose? Because
I actually asked her, so I asked her about this the other day, which is bad. I mean, we'd probably talked about it, but I didn't know her full story until recently. And she said it was after having me and my brother. So she had us quite young. I think she was 23 when she had me, 25 when she had my brother. And she said after that, her symptoms got really bad. It was only because she went to a specialist gynecologist who at the time was was quite pioneering with treating women with endometriosis. And she diagnosed her after having a surgery. So the same way that we mostly get diagnosed. But that was a really long time ago back then. It was quite rare then to be treated for it or to even have the surgery for it. So I was going to say she's lucky. That's definitely not the right word. But obviously she's luckier than women who've probably, you know, lived with this their whole life and don't even realize they have it. So yeah, that was her experience of it. Everyone that I speak to with it has got different symptoms that have been worse for them. So our experiences are different, but she's so helpful in to talk about it and discuss it with.
Hmm. I think having the support of your, like, our mums are sort of our guides in life, as women. And I think having a mum, I mean, it's so amazing that she got diagnosed. I don't know anyone of that generation who's been diagnosed.
Yeah. No, it is a rare thing. And so she said she didn't really suffer from it until after having kids, which is a myth buster for endo, because literally everyone always tells me, oh, when you have kids, it'll stop. Whereas actually, which I hate, that's a whole other story. But for my mom, you know, that wasn't the case. She actually had it after having kids. But then she had an operation after having all her kids to, like, remove her womb lining so she doesn't get the symptoms anymore. So that for her is now stopped her pain.
So to remove her womb lining?
Yeah, so, oh my God, she's going to kill me for talking about this. It's, I feel like I have no boundaries now with my own self. You know, like, I forget when I talk about periods and wombs that actually people might be like, oh, but for me, I'm so used to talking about. Sorry, Mum. Yeah, I'm sure she'll probably listen to this. So it's not a full hysterectomy. It's like it removes the lining of your womb. And so obviously you can't have, you don't have periods anymore. So it's not a full hysterectomy to take you into, like, full menopause, essentially. It doesn't take away your female organs, but it just takes the lining of your womb out, which should effectively stop endometriosis, because that is meant to be the root, you know, that's where the problem lies, in your endometrium. But we don't know, you know, it might still be affecting her in other ways. It's just not researched enough. But for her, that's stopped a lot of her symptoms.
Wow.
Who was her supporter? Like, mental supporter back then?
Probably my dad.
Wow. I think
my mum, yeah, I mean, her mum was probably helpful, but my mum lost her mum, sadly, quite young. Yeah, I think probably my dad.
I wanted to ask you, how was your relationship with your period when you were young? Because having all of these very, very painful periods, like, I recently, it's only because I met Shanti that I found the key to periods, and I started reading about period and I started understanding it. Back when I was a teenager, I was like, I hate this. Why do I even bother? I want to get over and done with it. What was your experience? And what is your experience? Is it still the same?
Oh, yeah. No, I feel much more, like, in tune with my body now. I mean, when I was, like, 14, I didn't have a clue what was going on. But now I just feel like I have been through so much with it that I now, although I resent my body sometimes, I am, like, I do try and take care of it a lot more than I did when I was younger. I look into things a lot more. I talk about it a lot more openly. I remember, like, when you were younger and you used to be scared to, like, you know, carry, like, a tampon to the bathroom. And now, you know, I'm talking about this with people that's going to be broadcast to other people. So it definitely changes your attitude a lot more, I think, as you grow up. I think you guys probably like a similar age to me. I just don't remember talking about my period with anyone other than my mom when I was a kid. Like, I don't remember talking about it with my friends. Like, I just can't remember it being a thing. I remember it being like a bit of a secret.
I went to a girls' school.
Yeah, same.
And we definitely used to just like, I think we used to like chuck tampons across the room. Just, it was very like, it was much more like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the girls were very, they're just so relaxed. I remember one girl like getting out of class by just yelling at the teacher, I'm on my period, let me out. And he was like, okay.
See, I remember that, but I also remember teachers just not really like, giving one about it. Like, I remember being in so much pain and I was like, I can't do, and having to do like PE or like swimming and stuff and having to explain it to your teacher. They were always horrible about it. They were never understanding, you know. It was always
to this day, when, because I'm a teacher, so when I talk about period, you see girls being like, no, miss, that's, don't talk about that. That's too much information. And you're like, you need to talk about that. Boys need to hear about that.
Oh, I think definitely boys need. I mean, my poor, like, family, like I have three brothers, my dad and my boyfriend, they've probably heard so much about periods. And I remember actually I left like so after surgery they give you like pictures of your surgery of like your ovaries and like all things that have been taken pictures of, and I remember leaving them accidentally
on the wall.
Yeah. Out on the side in my parents' house. And I remember my dad like gave it back to me and was probably like, oh god, like it's just pictures of ovaries lying around our house now. And there's literally no boundaries left. So I feel like
full education though.
Yeah, it's been probably a massive education for them. It's yeah. Something that's becoming more talked about in our house.
I think that I feel like with periods, like either you've got one or you love someone who's got one. And chances are we all know people with, you know, if 1 in 10 women have endometriosis, then everyone's going to know at least one or two women who have it. And it's like, I feel like it's all of, you know, we need to all be there for each other. And the only way you can really understand something is by talking about it. And the tough thing is, it's up to people who have it to talk about it. And then it's up to everyone else to take an active interest and be like, yes, show me your scans of your ovaries. I want to see, I want to see what it is. And I think having these kinds of conversations, exactly. I mean, that's why I wanted to do this, was because we want it to be more normal.
Do you mind telling us about the battle with your health provider? And because you've mentioned when we first spoke about this class as a fertility treatment, can you tell us about that? Because many people might fall into the same trap.
Yeah, that was a bit of a nightmare. So I was quite naive in that situation, I think, because I hadn't been diagnosed yet and I was still going through the whole motions of going to the doctor and being turned away and all of this. And I'd never had private medical before. So I was very lucky that at the time I just got it through my work. So... Oh no, I hadn't. Maybe I hadn't. No, it's my dad took out private healthcare for me before I got it through my works. So that was where I was with, I don't know if I should say who the really bad one was, but they were awful to me. And so I'd been going through all these problems. I couldn't get help or diagnosis with it. My dad said, right, you should go and see someone privately, and then hopefully we can get it sorted for you. So through my healthcare, I'd managed to get a referral from my GP to see a private gynecologist who had then referred me for my surgery. Sorry, I'm trying to remember it at the same time. It's like going through my brain.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
So obviously with endo, it kind of falls into a bit of a loophole because you haven't been diagnosed yet and your surgery is diagnostic. So in order to get the diagnosis, you need the surgery. They told me, I mean, they just didn't seem to understand at all what I was trying to get, like what my surgery was for. They didn't have a clue what endometriosis was, which for a massive medical provider just seemed like craziness at the time. And for me, I was still in that stage where I hadn't been diagnosed. So I was a bit kind of fragile when it came to that anyway. They asked me all these questions. So they asked me if this was a fertility treatment, which I was like, well, no. Then they tried, I mean, I think I was, 25 at the time. So they were asking me if I wanted to have kids, which is such a personal question anyway, let alone to be asked when you're 25. I was like, I don't know, like, yeah, hopefully, but I'm not sure. And they were like, right, well, if this is a fertility treatment, I was like, no, this is not a fertility treatment. But I'm quite like a bit of a pushover anyway in this situation. So I was like, oh, okay. My dad was like, ring them back. So we tried again. They went through all my medical history and they were like, well, you've been to the doctors about your periods before. So this is classed as an existing condition. So I was like, right, so my period is now an existing condition. I mean, that was just...
So you've got periods, so that's it.
Yeah, it was just, they were like trying everything to get out of this operation. It was a nightmare. In the end, I can't even remember how I got it. I think we complained and we had to literally explain what the surgery was for and why it was not an existing condition because I hadn't been diagnosed yet. And I think we battled for like over 6 months. I eventually got my surgery and then I left them. I was like, I don't want to be involved with them anymore. But then I got private healthcare through my work, who were much, much better. They were really good. So yeah.
It's so sad.
I know. And
it's so sad. Imagine if your mom didn't have it. And like, there's so many girls that don't even know what that is.
I think if I hadn't been really pushed, I think I probably just would have been like, oh, okay, like, yeah, we just won't do it. And there's so many people who I think would be in the same boat. For me, I've got people, when I made my post, it was actually reposted by Endometriosis UK. And I had probably like over 50 women message me. It was insane. It was like the floodgates had opened. I was a bit overwhelmed because I just didn't feel like qualified to be speaking to all these women. But I think they just wanted someone to talk to about it. And there were so many girls. Like, one really stood out to me. She was like 19 and she was like, I've been to the doctors for years and I've got painful periods. They won't help me. Like, I'm on a waiting list for a surgery, but the waiting list is 18 months. And it just shows you like how sad it is that all these women are going through all this pain and they're not being listened to. They're not being helped. I just don't understand it. I don't want to make this like a, you know, gender political thing, but I just feel like if this was affecting everyone, would it be the same issues? Like,
It is.
Yeah, it is. It is. You can't deny it.
More money spent on erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, I saw your post. I've seen that.
It is.
I was like, oh, for God's sake. doesn't even surprise me.
That's the sad thing, is like, it is a gendered thing. I mean, it's, women have been so underrepresented in research forever. I mean, it was only in the 90s that I read that it was only in the 90s that women were actually really involved in trials, clinical trials for like general stuff, because men are the norm and women are the other, because we have cycles where we are different every day for a month. And then we repeat again, whereas men are the same 2 o'clock on Monday, they'll be the same at 2 o'clock on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's interesting, because I think then women, they just don't look into women's problems as well, because the people doing the research are men. And so we are innately interested in what we might suffer. Like, you know, that's quite a natural instinct, but then it means that if women are only recently doing more research, that just means that they're not looking into women's issues.
Yeah.
Great. So thank you so much for your time today. We needed to hear all of that. Let's close with our last question. What are you fighting for?
Oh, it's a hard thing. I think something I've learned a lot this year is definitely to fight for advocating for yourself. I think especially endometriosis, it's super important to stand up for yourself, to push for better care for yourself, and yeah, to just know your body and know what's going on with you, because it's important.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your time. We needed to hear all this. We hope the best for you in the future. And let's hope 2021 is a better year.
Oh, God, please. It can only get better, hopefully.
Great. Yeah, have a lovely, lovely day, Louise.
Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women Who Fight podcast. And credit to Will Grant for being our songwriter and sound editor. Please subscribe and share and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at womenwhofight.co.uk, and check out our website for more content.